Good morning. It's the 20th of December. We're continuing the exhortation from Brother Harry Tennant. We finished yesterday with the statement, Job has moved from the daysman and sees something of his need, even though he has not yet seen God as totally right. I read on. But does this mean that God will ignore the sin that the daysman would find in us and simply overlook it without taking account of it? This is the whole problem at the heart of the atonement. The answer to the question is no. God does not simply ignore sin. We read, for example, in Isaiah chapter 1, the following. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool, if ye be willing and obedient. The word reason is daysman, and by this means our sins are made manifest. But God is not going to press the umpire's case to its ultimate conclusion, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Instead, he is to provide forgiveness, an option which Job had not perceived in its fullness. This is the essence of the nature of the Lord God, who is merciful and gracious. The answer to Job's problem is revealed in Zechariah chapter 3, among other passages. The events in the chapter took place in the second year of Darius, the year when the rebuilding of the temple was recommenced, after the Jews' adversaries had been rebuked by the king. In this setting, where Jerusalem has its adversary, Satan, his attacks are to be silenced, and a high priest is to stand up who shall serve in the temple of the Lord. We might have satisfied ourselves that the picture was wholly appropriate to the time of Zechariah and passed on. However, we are arrested in our tracks when we are told that the scene is really about something greater, about my servant, the branch. Joshua represents Christ, who is the branch, the stone, the servant of the Lord God, who will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. This is none other than the Lord Jesus, presented to us in filthy garments and then transformed by a change of raiment and a fair mitre. He who shared our nature and bore away our sins is portrayed first in the old garments. This is entirely appropriate and the only way in which both the daysman and the Redeemer could be set forth. Behold, there was none of you that convinced Job, we read in chapter 33. Contrast with, which of you convinceth me of sin, which we get in John 8, verse 46. The word convinced is daysman in Job. The word used in the Septuagint translation of Job 32 reappears in John chapter 8. Christ was the only one who could bear the scrutiny of the daysman, and yet he was the one to be the Redeemer. It is one of those happy coincidences of our daily readings that Zechariah 3 is referred to in our third reading for the day, Jude. Others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Jude 22 and 23. This passage makes very clear our position in the sight of God. However righteous our lives may appear in our own sight, or even in the estimation of others, every human being, with the exception of the Lord, soils his character by sin. Like Job, we need the offices of a Redeemer, who has been assessed by the divine daysman. Jude therefore ends with a cry of triumphant praise. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.